This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. This week, another dispatch from OTM producer Molly Schwartz. She's in Moscow and has been observing the rising tensions between Russia and the West over Ukraine. One window into the conversation, Molly tells us, is the nightly gabfests on television. As U.S. journalists, diplomats, and politicians try to interpret Russian President Putin's increasingly hard-to-read actions and statements, Russian TV is saying all the quiet parts out loud. Molly noticed as she watched the nightly panel shows that there was one lone figure swimming against the tide of anti-U.S. invective, an American named Michael Washura.
It's noon on a Saturday, and I'm walking with Michael Washura through Izmailova, a neighborhood in the northeast of Moscow.
It's the nicest, cheap neighborhood in Moscow.
A well-coiffed older woman with big eyelashes says a shy hello as we walk by. Apparently, she's a fan.
Our audience is large enough that if I'm out in Moscow, or even actually in Odessa, people will recognize me.
We walk into his apartment where his wife is frying up some blini. His 7-year-old son, Lev, joins us, showing me how to fold blini like a pro. Have you ever seen your dad on TV?
Yes.
What does he do on TV?
He talks about different stuff. That's actually true, but no one except for Papa says the truth.
I go on Russian TV, and I have 5 seconds before I'm interrupted to get out whatever I want to say.
The shows that he goes on are debate-style gabfests, with two hosts and a panel of 6 to 8 guests who are called experts. Michael Washura is on this stage because he's basically a professional American. In the past, he's jumped from job to job. He worked for a while as an English teacher. He was in line at one point to join the Foreign Service before Rex Tillerson's hiring freezes hit. He has a freelance writing career that he's slowly but surely nurtured on the side. But these days, he earns his paychecks appearing almost daily on Russian TV, expounding on America's role in the day's top news stories.
I was teaching English. I had a group at a radio station, independent radio station. And in 2016, they kind of realized that the English teacher could talk about what was going on back in America. And so I did a few segments about the 2016 election. A television producer heard about this and wrote to me on Facebook, and rest is history.
The show you're hearing now is Vremya Pokazhet, or Time Will Tell in English, on Russia's Channel One. This show is rowdy, full of antics. There's lots of yelling. Sometimes there's pushing. One time, a host, Artyom Shenin, tried to get a Ukrainian blogger to eat from a bucket labeled the S word, to raucous applause. It was later revealed that it was chocolate. Another time, Shannon physically attacked American journalist Michael Baum, swatting him aggressively at the nape of the neck and saying, "You're provoking me. Why are you provoking me?" Time Will Tell was modeled off an earlier Russian talk show called Okna that ran from 2002 to 2005. Some involved in the creation of Okna have said it was a copy of the Jerry Springer show.
All you do is sit around, nag me, don't let me have no time with my friends. And I'm just tired of it, so I'm here to tell you I'm cheating on you.
And just like on Jerry Springer, the panelists who were invited on are there to create maximum drama. Washura says the guests are divided informally into liberals and patriots.
The format is designed so that one side always wins and the other side always loses. And the side that always loses is my side.
And how would you describe what you represent on this panel of people?
So I represent not exactly the American position, but the more liberal American position.
Each of the three major Russian channels has a show similar to Time Will Tell. NTV has Место встречи, or Meeting Point. Россия 1 has 60 минут, or 60 minutes. And Washura has appeared on all of them. Every night, he gets a WhatsApp message from a producer about whether they need him for tomorrow's show.
You know, sometimes that can come as late as 10 o'clock, so I have to be flexible. Sometimes I'm on, sometimes I'm not.
And what kind of things do you do to prepare?
I have to know everything that's happening in the world, and then I have to know everything that these Russian patriots think is happening in the world, so that I'm ready for the conspiracy theories that the guys across from me are going to be throwing out.
After arriving at the station, Washura gets his TV makeup done and is ushered into the studio.
The hosts come in and the music comes up. In the past couple of weeks, with the rising tensions between Russia and Ukraine, they've actually started playing Hollywood-style horror movie music. And the first time I heard it, I started laughing.
This is a show from January 28th, and the title is «Игры в войнушку от Запада», which translates to «Little War Games with the West». The Russian word for war is «война», but here they say «войнушка», which is like a cute little non-threatening war. The hosts today are Anatoly Kuzachev and Olesa Losova. Losova gives a monologue saying that Ukraine is moving its army from west to east and that the United States is funding them and providing weapons.
It was a collection of facts put together in order to suggest that the United States is preparing to attack Russia. They talk about how the United States is publicly supplying weapons to Ukraine, even offensive weapons. They cite people in the Western press talking about when the ground freezes, and the host even uses this phrase in English.
Once the ground freezes,
and he hints that the United States is planning to attack Russia when the ground freezes, but he doesn't say it. Everybody watching understands it, but he doesn't say it directly.
Later in the show, the hosts talk about how the West wants to discuss the security of Ukraine, but we here in Russia are worried about our own security. Washura responds, speaking fluent Russian with a slight Midwestern accent. You say that your tanks and troops around the borders of Ukraine do not threaten anyone, that they are not even there, he says, but that they are ready to answer any provocation to the end. Some of the patriotic panelists jump in, saying, so then don't provoke us. Just go to Florida and relax. There's no cause for concern. The host, Olesa Losova, transitions. Michael says no one is provoking us by delivering weapons to Ukraine and inflating it like a powder keg in the expectations that it will soon detonate, all while practicing for a nuclear strike on Moscow. Yes, nobody is provoking us. Her voice is clearly dripping with sarcasm.
So there are really two topics which are discussed almost all day, every day. One is America, especially if there's something going on like the withdrawal from Afghanistan and, you know, any sort of catastrophe involving America is a big theme. And failing that, anything about Ukraine is the focus of the show.
Ukraine has been a constant obsession of the show since it was created almost 8 years ago. And in the last few weeks, while war drums are literally playing in the background, the messaging that they've been repeating over and over is that Russia is not gunning for war.
In fact, our troops are not even gathering on the border. And even if they are, that's our own sovereign business because it's on Russian territory. And so who are you to question it? But Ukraine is provoking us. And if we are provoked, we will have to destroy Ukraine. And America will not defend Ukraine because they're an unreliable ally. But we don't want to destroy Ukraine, but we're massing troops on the border, but they're not really there. That's the message. And so if you're out in Moscow and you're talking to regular people, they are primed to believe that if something happens, it will be because of America.
On a February 4th episode of Time Will Tell, they play a clip of U.S. State Department spokesperson Ned Price at a press conference. He's explaining that, according to a classified source, Russia allegedly planned to release a video of crisis actors faking a Ukrainian attack on Russian territory. Matt Lee, a veteran AP reporter, asked the question.
What evidence do you have to support the idea that there is some propaganda film in the making?
A tussle ensues.
It is intelligence information that we have declassified.
Well, where is it? Where is the declassified information?
I just delivered it.
Ned, that's you saying it. That's not evidence. I'm sorry.
It's supposed to be a slam dunk on Ned Price. Isn't his poor performance embarrassing? Рашура tries to turn it into a discussion about the importance of press freedom.
You know, this is an example of why America is actually great. Somebody can ask the press secretary of the State Department questions like this, which, of course, just leads to Colin Powell's test tube.
Instantly, an image of Colin Powell at the UN in 2003 holding up a test tube and testifying that the United States has evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq pops up on the big screen.
Anything the American government says, which is in any way against Russia, isn't true because Colin Powell's test tube.
All roads lead to Colin Powell's test tube, I guess.
That's life in Russia. Yeah, yeah.
This show is constantly going down rabbit holes and dabbling in conspiracy theories, blowing up small incidents and glossing over big ones, making it difficult to know what's important and what's not. But the conclusion is always the same, which is that the Russian patriots are right.
It doesn't really matter much what I say, because whatever I say, they will kind of laugh it off if it's a little too sharp. They can interrupt me if it's a little too accurate. They can move the discussion to somebody else for the next 15 minutes, and anybody watching at home forgets what I said over the course of 5 seconds. It gets drowned in everything else.
Every time I went on the show, I thought today's the day when I can drop some big truth bomb on Russian state television that's just going to completely, you know, change the narrative or shock the producers.
Joshua Yaffa is the Moscow correspondent for The New Yorker. He went on Time Will Tell several times between 2016 and 2018. When he was doing research for his book, Between Two Fires.
But the format of the show doesn't allow for that. Whatever truth it is that you're trying to break through and get the viewer to listen to or be exposed to is drowned out by another six voices who are screaming half-truths or outright falsehoods. And it all just is reduced to this kind of informational soup.
It's an open secret in Moscow that state television exists essentially as a mouthpiece of the Kremlin. In fact, a handful of television directors regularly go to what are effectively planning meetings at the Kremlin.
Where Kremlin officials pass along the messages of the day, the topics of the day, how they wish them to be presented, and work out a kind of coverage plan with these television bosses who then go back to their respective channels and pass the message on further down the chain. And in this way, the Kremlin has, if not exactly strict operational control over what happens on Channel 1, it definitely has strategic control in helping, or in fact determining, the nature of coverage and the tone with which it's delivered.
One good thing, Yaffa points out, is that Kremlinology, the art of interpreting the inner workings of a secretive government, is made so much easier by a government that hides its motives in plain sight.
I don't think there's a lot of trickery involved in translating what the Kremlin itself thinks and wants broadcast to what you see on state television. So in that sense, there can be something, in a way, educational or instructive about it.
Historically, the majority of Russians have gotten their news from these state TV channels. According to the most recent poll by Levada, a non-governmental research organization, 69% of Russians rely on television as their main source of news, compared to 37% who rely on internet news sources. Thus far, the campaign to shape public opinion on Ukraine has been effective. Another recent Levada poll found that 50% of Russians think the U.S. and NATO are the instigators of the current situation in Ukraine. Only 4% think Russia is to blame. Michael Washura.
I understand that by going on the federal channel shows, I must be helping them in some way. Otherwise, they wouldn't continue inviting me back.
I've spoken to journalists in Moscow who told me they'd never go on a show like Time Will Tell because they don't feel like it's a genuine place for open debate. They said that they'd be playing a role in domestic propaganda, which is designed to beat up on Americans and make them look bad. So it's kind of a futile endeavor. But each of them has a good job at a brand name institution.
As soon as I have a preferable option, I'll take it. When I was back in Michigan in the fall, I seriously considered sticking around and working for $20 an hour in an Amazon warehouse. I decided not to, but I'm definitely open to doing something other than what I'm doing right now.
For right now, he says having an inside view into a vast influencing machine seems like it's worth something.
I'm under no illusion that I'm, you know, translating my message to the Russian people, that I'm having a, you know, great positive influence, which is going to change anything here. That would be a fantasy. But getting the window on all of this that I get, it gives me the opportunity to understand it. I think it's actually a fairly important story to see what's happening here and understand how a population can be manipulated in the way that the Russian population is manipulated. And it's important for me to actually try to understand it and then try to communicate that. And until I succeed in doing that, I'm going to continue going in and watching it and trying to understand how it works.
Joshua Yaffa described Time Will Tell as a simulacrum of political heterodoxy. It's the Matrix, but for democracy. These shows don't have a consistent platform or ideology. The two sides aren't left and right. They are patriots and liberals, but there's also left, right, center, and conspiracy theory. The producers can cherry-pick whatever example they need to make Russia look good and Russia's so-called enemies look bad. In today's media environment, sometimes the silencing of dissent isn't the most effective way to change minds and influence people. It's to let the dissent be heard and get lost among all the noise. For On the Media, I'm Molly Schwartz.
And that's the show this week. On the Media is produced by Micah Loewinger, Eloise Blondio, Rebecca Clark Callender, and Max Balton, with help from Aki Camargo. Xandra Ellen writes our newsletter, and our show is edited by me and Kat. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were Andrew Nerviano and Adrian Lilly. Kat Hir Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.